ceiling. He got up, clutching at his forehead, and staggered to the door. It opened into a much larger room, or, more accurately, a workshop. Another thump rattled his teeth. William tried to focus. The room was full of dwarfs, toiling over a couple of long benches. But at the far end, several of them were clustered around something like a complex piece of weaving machinery. It went thump again. William rubbed his head. "What's happening?" he said. The nearest dwarf looked up at him and nudged a colleague urgently. The nudge passed itself along the rows, and the room was suddenly filled wall to wall with a cautious silence. A dozen solemn dwarf faces looked hard at William. No one can look harder than a dwarf. Perhaps it's because there's only quite a small amount of face between the statutory round iron helmet and the beard. Dwarf expressions are more concentrated. He said. Hello? One of the dwarfs in front of the big machine was the first to unfreeze. Back to work, lads, he said, and came and looked William sternly in the groin. You're right, your lordship, he said. William winced. What happened? He said. I remember seeing a cart and then something hit.
It ran away from us, said the dwarf. Load slipped too, sorry about that.
What happened to Mr. Dibbler? The dwarf put his head on one side.
The skinny man with the sausages, he said.
That's right. Was he hurt?
I don't think so, said the dwarf carefully. He sold young Thunderax a sausage and a bun, I do know that.
William thought about this. Ankh-Morpork had many traps for the unwary newcomer. Well, then is Mr. Thunderax all right? He said.
Probably. He shouted under the door just now that he was feeling a lot better, but he would stay where he was for the time being, said the dwarf.
He reached under a bench and solemnly handed William a rectangle wrapped in grubby paper.
Yours, I think.
William unwrapped his wooden block. It would split right across, where a wheel of the cart had run over it, and the writing had been smudged. He sighed.
"Excuse me," said the dwarf. "But what was it meant to be?"
"It's a block prepared for a woodcut," said William. He wondered how he could possibly explain the idea to a dwarf from outside the city. "You know, engraving, a sort of very nearly magical way of getting lots of copies of writing. I'm afraid I shall have to go and make another one now." The dwarf gave him an odd look, and then took the block from him and turned it over and over in his hands. "You see," said William, "the engraver cuts away bits of—"
"Have you still got the original?" said the dwarf.
"Pardon?"
"The original?" said the dwarf patiently.
"Oh, yes." William reached inside his jacket and produced it.
"Can I borrow it for a moment?"
"Well, all right, but I shall need it again, so—" The dwarf scanned the letter a while, and then turned and hit the nearest dwarf a resounding boing on the helmet.
10 pointer cost 3, he said, handing him the paper.
The struck dwarf nodded, and then its right hand moved quickly across the rack of little boxes, selecting things. "I ought to be getting back so I can—" William began.
"This won't take long," said the head dwarf. "Just you step along this way, will you? This might be of interest to a man of letters such as yourself."
William followed him along the avenue of busy dwarfs to the machine, which had been thumping away steadily.
"Oh, it's an engraving press," said William vaguely.
"This one's a bit different," said the dwarf. "We've modified it."
He took a large sheet of paper off a pile by the press and gave it to William, who read, "Gunilla, Goodmountain and Co. respectfully solicit work for their new word smithy, a method of taking multiple impressions, the like of which hath not hitherto been seen. Reasonable rates, at the sign of the Bucket, Gleam Street, off Treacle Mine Road, Ankh-Morpork."
"What do you think?" said the dwarf shyly.
"Are you Gunilla Goodmountain?"
"Yes, what do you think?"
"Well, you've got the letters nice and regular, I must say," said William. "But I can't see what's so new about it. And you've spelt hitherto wrong. There should be another H after the first T. You'll have to cut it all out again unless you want people to laugh at you."
"Really?" said Goodmountain. He nudged one of his colleagues. "Just give me a 96-point lowercase H, will you, Caslong? Thank you."
Goodmountain bent over the press, picked up a spanner and busied himself somewhere in the mechanical gloom.
"You must have a really steady hand to get the letters so neat," said William.
He felt a bit sorry that he'd pointed out the mistake. Probably no one would have noticed in any case. Ankh-Morpork people considered that spelling was a sort of optional extra. They believed in it in the same way that they believed in punctuation. It didn't matter where you put it, so long as it was there. The dwarf finished whatever arcane activity he'd been engaged in, dabbed with an inked pad at something inside the press, and got down.
"I'm sure it won't